Good morning. My name is Jane Wiseman, and I'm the duty elder this morning. I'd like to welcome one and all to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. And if there are any visitors worshiping with us today, welcome. And we ask that you please sign the guest book at the main entrance. And following the service, please join us downstairs for a time of fellowship. There are a few announcements today. The police choir concert, which will be December the 3rd, we're asking that if you could carpool, or if the parking lot is overflowing, if you could park in the parking lot next door. You can read that little caption at your leisure. And the Creefield lunch, let me find that one. That's December the 14th at 11:30, and once again, Creef Hills is hosting a Christmas buffet luncheon, and there's a group that's going, so if you could please let Renata know before December the 1st. And we will be taking orders for poinsettias downstairs after the service, and we need people for greeters and fellowship right through December.
I think you have one other you want to do. Go ahead.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
If you missed Sarah's presentation last month about her mission trip to Malawi, you might be interested in seeing her photos this Tuesday at 3:30 in Douglas Hall. And for anyone that has subscriptions to the Presbyterian Record, it is coming to an end as of December. They are not publishing anymore. So we won't be taking any new subscriptions, which I have done in the past. And Bruce has an announcement.
Yeah, I had a couple of things I wanted to point out. Thank you, Jane. The mention about Creef Hills, Bob will be taking orders. Now, I think what I heard you say, Bob, earlier this morning was that you don't have to pay today or anything, just to sign up. We'll collect the money the day of kind of deal. And we did go on this, a small group of us. I think there was 8 or 10 of us that went last year, and it's a lovely time together. Creef Hills is a very beautiful place. It's not that far a drive. It's about 30 minutes from here, give or take. And it's a wonderful luncheon, and the people up there just do a wonderful job. So if you're at all able to come to this on the 14th, it's a Wednesday morning, I know, but if you are able to come, please come along. The other thing I wanted to point out was we have lots of new folks, as you've seen in my emails that I've been sending out. I've been pointing that out. We've got lots of new visitors and new folks coming regularly here to Burlington East. And so I wanted to just briefly, and try to keep it brief as I possibly can, about the Children's Christmas Wish Project that we undertake every year here at Burlington East. I know there's been mention of it in the bulletins, and it points out that names will be available. But just to give you a little bit of a background to that, there is a local elementary school here that we partner up with. I know after speaking to the principal in the past, a lot of the families and children, rather, that come to that school are bused in from other areas than this immediate neighborhood. Some of those areas, and actually many of those areas, that people are coming from more sort of financially needy areas. So in some cases, the children that we get suggested on this list probably wouldn't have very much of a Christmas at all without some of the efforts that we put forth. So again, working with the principal from that school, we get a list of children's names in order to, done very privately and whatnot, so that we can help them through this Christmas time. What we do is, you get a list of names. There's some ideas of things that they could use or might need, and often we see things like socks and shoes as opposed to toys, because that's where they're at in their life. These are unwrapped gifts. Wrapping paper is provided so that the parents can get involved with that. and I think I've got that just about right. Burl, the back, coordinates this for us along with the principal from the school and does a wonderful job of doing this. And it's something I know that we've been very excited. We didn't get to do it last year because there was a staff change at the school and the timing just didn't work. But I'm very glad that we're able to do this again this year because it really does meet a need. And I've read aloud here some of the cards and letters that we've got in return to thank for the stuff that's happened. And this entire Christmas dinner that we do, the toys that are provided here from City Kids, and this effort that we participate in with the schools makes a huge difference to some really needy families in our area and in the city. So I really want to endorse this Children's Wish Project. Burl will be downstairs with a list of names, and you can sign up and take on that family. And it's not, you don't have to go nutty with the spending. Just like I said, sometimes it's just some socks and underwear and shirts and things like that that they're needing. So it doesn't have to be a huge deal. And sometimes what people have done in the past has got together, a couple of you got together to take on one family so that, again, expense is not enormous for you. Please consider this in prayer. And I did see on the bulletin board there was an article in the Hamilton newspaper from the 24th. Walter's not here this morning, but Walter has been very involved through his company with City Kids, and City Kids provides all the toys to us every year. And it's a great effort that we have here in the city of Burlington and in Hamilton as well, that we're able to reach out to people in a very practical and a very real need. So again, that wasn't as brief as I wanted it to be, folks. I apologize. But it is something that's very important and very special to our congregation. So please consider these different things that we've got going on at this time. So let's take a moment and let's forget about all the stuff that we did to hurry to get here this morning, and let's put that aside and just quiet our hearts briefly as we begin and prepare for worship this morning. For our call to worship, I'll call on Miss Denise and the rest of the family.
Come down, O Lord, tear open the heavens and come down.
We wait in hope. We wait for God to reveal. We wait for God to tear open the heavens and come down. From ages past, no ear has heard, no eye has seen, any power besides God who works for the reconciliation of the whole world.
So we wait with hope for God to come down.
There you go. Thank you. Crockett family. We'll join together now in our first hymn together, hymn 119, Hope is a Star. And given that this is the first Sunday of Advent and hope is our theme, we're going to sing just verse 1 of this hymn, but we're going to sing it twice. 119, Hope is a Star.
Thank you.
come together now in our prayers of adoration and confession before the Lord. The Lord's Prayer we normally have at this time will be done during our communion service. And as I said, and I do like to say at this particular point in time, we come at this time every week to thank God for the many things and blessings that we have from week to week. But we also come before God at this time to remember those times when we've stepped away from the path that He calls us to, that God calls us to walk a certain way. God calls us to walk and behave with each other in a certain way, and there are times when we stray from that. It's this time when we come to confess these things, and we call these things sin, but that's what we mean by that in so many ways. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God of glory, we know that You are coming at an unexpected hour. This is Advent, and we're anticipating Your arrival. We ask that You will come to us in spirit and truth and take us into Your presence and make us ready for Your reign of peace. Lord, we thank You for the many blessings that You give us from week to week. You are a God who loves us eternally. You are a God whose love is never ending. That everlasting love that goes on, that's spoken out through all of Scripture, Old and New Testament, the everlasting love of God, it's never ending. And it is this that we cling to on a day such as this. It is this as we remember the past and anticipate the future. God of night and day, there is no shadow that cannot conceal, or can conceal rather, our sin from You. There is no shadow that can cover up the things that we do in secret and in private. We know that You bring light to everything. We know, Lord, that You ask us to be walking a path that it can be difficult at times. It's a path that expects a certain way of behavior, not just with You, but with the people in our lives, the people who cross our paths. It's a life that says we should not be quarreling, we should not be jealous, we should be forgiving. It's a life that really, when we walk clearly with You in that way, it's almost easy in some respects, God, because it's a response of our relationship with You. But Lord, we do know there are times when we step away. There are times when maybe we say something we shouldn't have. There are times when we keep our mouth shut when we need to speak out. There are times, Lord, when we choose, I'm not going to do that today. I'm too tired. And other times, Lord, when we get too involved, tire ourselves out and get in the way of people in their lives. Teach us, Lord, to live a way that brings honor and glory to Your name. And forgive us those moments when we step away. We pray all of this through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Beloved, in our baptism, we were bathed and in light and clothed with grace. Therefore, we put on Jesus Christ as our cover and our Redeemer. Know that we are forgiven and that we live in peace. We join together now in our next hymn. In the bulb there is a flower. And I'll have the children come forward for a time together at the during verse 2. 674, in the bulb there is a flower. Nope, not going to do that. All right. I tried. It's hard when a giant man in a black skirt comes walking up. I know. I'd run too. Morning, guys. How are you today? Are you there? Yeah, I know you are. I'm just kidding. Sorry. Today is Advent, and that's a word we'll explain later on for you, but the first Sunday of Advent, as we read in that order of service today, or our opening call, is the word hope. Do you know what hope means? What's hope mean? Well, you can't use the word in a definition. I'll give you that much, Brent, but that's a good try. You hope. What does hope mean? Hope means I know you want to say I'm hoping something's going to happen. I know, because you started to say that. And that's right. That's the right answer. And you're wishing something might happen. You're expecting something to happen. Wait. My phone rang. I was hoping my phone would ring, and it did. Because, see, when I was, well, when not just me, but a lot of these people here were younger, this is what a phone looked like. Right? This is what a phone looked like. And there was maybe one in the house, right? Yeah. And when I was expecting somebody to call and hoping somebody would call me, what did we do? Well, first thing we did, we beat everybody off the phone because you can't bear pick that phone up because they might just call. And if you pick the phone up when they call, it'll be busy, which we get nowadays too. We can hear that when it goes beep, beep, beep. Somebody's using the phone. So I would always tell my sisters to stay away from the phone. And we had one phone, and originally our phone didn't have a very long cord to go to the wall because it wasn't like this. It plugged in the wall. And the cord that went to the handpiece also wasn't very long. But I'll tell you, we stretched it every length we could, didn't we? And we closed the cupboard door, and we talked like this when we could, right? Because we were just hoping so much for a special phone call. And what else do we do when we, especially nowadays, people do it all the time with their cell phones. If you're hoping somebody's going to call you, what do? Or they're going to text you, maybe. Yeah, you're constantly doing this, right? Okay, go ahead. Oh, no, go ahead. Look. Wait a minute. You check your phone all the time because you hope they're going to call you. You're excited, aren't you? Because you might, you know, I do this with mine. Is the volume working? I just check the volume. Oh, yeah, there it is. It's turned up full. Okay, it's good. Well, I didn't miss anything. You check again in case the volume was off. No, the volume's good. I'm good. I hope they're going to call. Well, we're hoping something very big is going to happen in the next little while. And we know, in fact, it's not more than just wishing. We know that something's going to happen. Romans 8 says this, "For in hope we were saved." Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience, sometimes with patience more or less. The idea is, just like you were saying, Brett, when we hope for something, we expect it's going to happen. It's not a wish for something. We know it's going to happen. We're just hoping it's going to take place soon, very soon. Advent for us and hope of Advent is all about what? What's at the end of Advent? Here's a tough question. What's at the end of Advent? When we light the fifth candle up here, what will it be? You have a tree at the back. That's a clue. What's that? What's the tree for? Christmas, that's right. We're hoping for the Christmas time to come. We're hoping for Jesus' birth to be remembered. We're hoping for the coming of the Messiah. That's what that's about. All right? So hope today is more than wish. I know it's going to happen. I'm hoping for Christmas. Let's have a little prayer together, okay? You can repeat after me, okay? Dear Jesus, we thank you for hope that you give us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. You can head off to Sunday school, and you've got a project you're going to work on, and we'll stay seated and sing the last verse of our hymn. As we prepare to hear God's word read this morning, let us take a moment and bow our heads in prayer. Lord, of our people and of every nation, we ask that you will let your word ring out from the mountains and your spirit shine forth in the earth so that we may hear your teaching and by hearing that may do your will. We pray all of this in Christ, who is our peace. Amen. Our responsive psalm this morning is in your Psalters, and it is Psalm 122. It is part of a group of psalms known as the Songs of Ascent. And basically, every time that people would go up into the temple in Jerusalem, they went up the great stairs in the front of it, and they were ascending up into the presence of God. Psalms such as this were then sung and recited as they processed up into the presence of God. So they were ascending before the very throne of God. We are doing that today as we think of Advent and we think of that anticipation of the return of the Messiah. Psalm 122.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
May it prosper without you, peace be within your walls, and security within your towers.
For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be with you.
For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
Thank you, James. Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. This particular reading from Isaiah is also repeated in Micah chapter 4. So as I've talked about in the past very briefly, prophets were part, in this era, were part of a group of prophets that would be sort of hired or working at the temple in Jerusalem. It was almost as if they were a group of priests, if you like, but they were known as prophets. Prophets often spoke about the future as we think, but they also were critiques, and critiqued rather the king often that was in Jerusalem, and they critiqued the people and their behavior towards God. So they kind of set it like it was in so many ways. Isaiah, in this particular case, is talking about a great, terrible time that's going to be coming upon the people, and in fact it does as they get sent away from Jerusalem. But he's also talking about a great time of peace that will follow. And it's that time of peace when the Son of God has appeared, and again, connecting us directly with Advent in so many ways, and Christmas. Isaiah 2, beginning at verse 1. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Our New Testament reading this morning is taken from Romans 13, beginning at verse 11. That's on page 162 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. This is an interesting part because Paul is addressing us in particular, and what we are to be doing and waiting for this anticipation of the return of Jesus. And it, again, connects us directly to Advent. Advent meaning we're waiting for that coming of Christ, that he is in our midst, and that we are now waiting for that second return, so to speak, of the Messiah. Romans 13, beginning at verse 11. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone and the day is near. Let us then lay aside works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling or and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for flesh to gratify its desires. And our gospel reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 24, page 27 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles, beginning at verse 36. And often when we start our Advent time, we read about the return of Christ, and certainly that is what's being talked about here. In fact, it's Jesus talking about that very fact, and we get a very well-known scripture out of this that no one knows the day or the hour, only God does, and that the second return of Christ is something that's been anticipated for centuries now, but it's something that only God knows, but something we are very much instructed by Christ to live always in anticipation of his return, and certainly in anticipation of his first event, Christmas time. Matthew 24, beginning at verse 36. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angel of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God. We'll join together now in our next hymn, and it's in the insert. It's not actually, the words are printed, but it's better to look at this insert. My hope is built on nothing less. And for some of us, this is, and certainly myself, this is an age-old gospel hymn, and I know it quite well, but it might be new to a few of us, so I'm going to get Helena's going to play it through once so we can hear that, and then we'll stand and sing. Now, depending on your personal church background, your individual experiences, the term Advent may or may not have played a big factor in your Christmas season time worship. For me, personally, Advent was not a word used in the early years of my Christian faith. There were Christmas celebrations, certainly, and we had the children's pageant, and there was a choir presentation usually, but Advent, the term itself, was not very often mentioned. It was a word I didn't really know until much later on in my faith journey. We talk quite a bit about the Advent season here at Burlington East, and although it doesn't mean, just to be clear, that every Presbyterian congregation is using the term Advent or talking a lot about it, it's nonetheless an important part of our heritage here, our heritage as well as a Christian people. Today we begin the Advent season by contemplating the word hope. Our scriptures today have circled around this concept of hope, and it is a hope that we have truly in Christ. The Christ that comes at Christmas by his birth, and the Christ that comes again, if you like, after the Easter event, or that we're anticipating his arrival after that Easter event, the time of his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. So now as we prepare to consider all of these things, Advent, hope, let's just bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my mind will be acceptable to you and your people. Lord, open our spiritual ears to hear your word this morning and our spiritual eyes to see that which you have for us this day. In Christ's hopeful name, we pray this. Amen. Another thing that we do rather uniquely here at Burlington East is we celebrate the sacrament of communion on the first Sunday of Advent. Many other congregations, such as the other three Presbyterian churches we have here in Burlington, they wait till the first Sunday of December. Now, normally that kind of coincides. So the first Sunday of Advent very often is the first Sunday of December, which gives us the number of Sundays we need leading up to Christmas. But in a particular time, as it moves around a little bit, we want to count backwards 4 weeks. Well, this year, Christmas happens to be on a Sunday, and to get back the 4 Sundays of Advent time, we move into November. So our elders got together and we had a conversation and prayerfully about this and thought, rather than hold to the sort of the calendar, monthly calendar, let's go to the church calendar and just go the first Sunday of Advent as communion. And part of the reasoning behind that is that communion is our time to remember Jesus's sacrifice. I'm going to put it that way for the moment. And on the front of communion tables, and in front of this one in particular, I know the one in there says, "We do this in remembrance of me." It's, "Do this in remembrance of me." So we are remembering by having our communion time of the season that's gone before and the season that we anticipate coming. We also do it as the first Sunday of Advent because this is the time we are awaiting the arrival of Christ's birth. So it really coincides well in that sense. We're thinking back and we're anticipating the future and a future yet to come as we think of that second return of Christ. It's important for us to remember as well as to anticipate. It's important for us to do both and remember the past and consider the future. And this being the first Sunday brings us to this. Now, I also wanted to point out that this is what would fall into the category, I'm getting officious here and sounding, this idea of having communion on the first Sunday of Advent is something that would fall under doctrine. And I've used the word doctrine and I've used the word theology here in the past to try to, you know, do what my role is, we call this the minister, but my role is the teaching elder. And we have elders within our congregation, and there's one elder that's designated as the teaching elder, and that's the minister. So I like to teach when I can. So the idea of doctrine, I'm going to use it very, very loosely in a sense, because I do this as much as I can when I'm preaching from the pulpit here. When I try to differentiate between doctrine and theology, and what I mean by that for me personally, and if you look up the dictionary definitions, they may differ slightly, but for me, doctrinal decisions tend to be about things such as this. There's nothing in the Bible that tells us to have communion on the first Sunday of Advent. You can search all you want. You're not going to find it in Scripture. Theological beliefs and theological things that we write down generally are based directly on some scriptural references about something. So when you're hearing those two words, kind of put them in those buckets, if you like. So the doctrine tends to be something that we do in our congregational life and in our church life. And not necessarily, it's based on Scripture, but there may not be a direct reference to Scripture. Even Advent itself, the 4 weeks of Sundays, 4 Sundays before Christmas, isn't necessarily, you're not going to find that in Scripture either. It's something that the church has taken on as a kind of a doctrinal stand. Our gospel reading today, coupled with the psalm and our reading from Isaiah, all point to something that we can anticipate, and that's what Advent is really about. And it's really the point of it, anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. Adventus, Adventus, I think I got that right today, Helena, Adventus. Adventus is Latin for Advent. It means simply the word arrival. We anticipate the arrival of the Messiah in the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And to start this particular week one off, we are choosing in our congregation to celebrate Holy Communion. This "do in remembrance of me" sums up that communion sacrament in very simple terms. Why we do communion is summed up in those words, "this do in remembrance of me." We look forward with hope in Advent, and we look back in hope as we celebrate and remember communion. And that's why we do that here. Now, as I got meditating and thinking about that idea and the hope and all of the stuff that we do around Advent, I got thinking about some issues that sometimes come up when we start the conversation of Christmas itself. And I also remember spending hours endlessly talking to some of my Christian friends in my early Christian life and my non-Christian friends sometimes too about when was the actual birthday of Jesus, because we know for a fact that it wasn't on December 25th. And again, hunt through Scripture, you're not going to find a date of Jesus' birth. And all of this business of having Christmas in December and having Advent in December, I know some people in the past have really, we've had some head banging over it and looking for historical evidence, and there isn't really a lot. There's lots of arguments out there saying that Jesus was born sometime in October or November, but there's arguments to the contrary as well, and it doesn't really matter in so many ways. And I'm quoting here from a reference that I found. "We know quite well that we celebrate the birth of the Messiah Christ on Christmas, the 25th day of December. This date was first observed in 336 A.D., after 24 years after the Roman Emperor Constantine established Christianity as the state religion. Apparently, Pope Julius I chose to replace the pagan winter solstice feast in honor of Mithra, the unconquered sun that had been officially recognized by the Emperor Aurelian in 274 AD. From Rome, the new feast celebrating the birthday of the Son of Righteousness, as he's called in Malachi, spread to all the other churches over the following century." So the argument back was that, you know, Christmas and Advent's all about some pagan thing and nothing to do with Christianity. But the early church decided we need to pick a date, and they picked that one because it coincided with an existing holiday already. Interestingly enough, the modern Christmas celebration, the one that we do here in our country, is not that new relative to church history. It's not that new relative, certainly, to scriptural history. In fact, in the 1700s, late 1600s rather, Christmas was banned by the Puritans. The Puritans who were in England and the Puritans who lived in North America. And the Scottish Presbyterians banned it as well around the same time, because it was all around this pagan festival, the Yule festival, and the idea of, you know, having the tree and a Yule log and all that stuff was just so... And the big issues, as I've been reading about this for many seasons now, the really big issue was all the partying that went on around it, because people got drunk and just beat up each other and just, it's not the idea of drinking is the problem. It's that they got so drunk that they were abandoning their jobs, they were, you know, abandoning their families, and they were just getting in such a state, the church said, enough. We're gonna call this off. We're gonna ban this completely. So for a while, there was no Christmas celebration within the church. For a while, we just went through the season and on, off we went. We talked about the birth of Christ, but the really big festival, the really big celebration was Easter, because that's the one that makes all the difference. And I've been saying that in the pulpit here for a long time, that Easter's the one that makes us different from any other religion, because Easter's the one where Christ rose from the dead. We could say that December 25th is going to be the date we're going to pick to celebrate the birth of the beginner of our faith, of our religion, but lots of religions could do that. Let's just pick an arbitrary date for the birth of Buddha, and that's going to be Buddha Day, and we'll celebrate it. It makes no difference between the religions. Easter makes all the difference for us. So the early church, let's downplay Christmas. So it's only about 150 years ago that Christmas started to really pick up some steam. So when you think about it, it's not that long ago. We're talking early 1800s that Christmas started to kind of begin to take off again. And if you look up the trivia about Santa Claus, for instance, that symbol that we have of Santa Claus is really in the early 1900s that really took off. That one, the famous one with Coke, for instance, the big bushy white beard, that's really quite new and was part of a marketing campaign. So the traditions, and I'm putting air quotes, I don't like doing that, but anyway, air quotes around that word tradition is not that long a tradition in so many ways. What's the point of all of this? The point is that we celebrate here within this congregation something that's become a tradition for us, Advent. We celebrate something that's not only a tradition within this congregation, but within many congregations across the world, Christmas. We do these things because we want to remember the Christ that was born and gave us a hope that makes us also different from other people. Something I referenced last Sunday when I was being very serious in the sermon that I delivered. We have a hope in Christ. We have a hope in Christ. We have a hope in Christ that many others do not have. And I say that to you, congregation of Burlington East. We have a hope in Christ that many others do not have. So I'm excited that we celebrate Advent. I'm excited that we celebrate Christmas because for us, this brings us always to Christ. This brings us always to that anticipation that's talked about in the scriptures that we read this morning. An excited time. An excited time not just because it's about family, not just because it's about gifts, not just because it's the time of year, but because we have a hope in Jesus Christ that makes all the difference. So here we are on the first Sunday of Advent. Despite the issues that have maybe historically surrounded the celebration of Christmas and of Advent, we honor the heart of this season, the anticipation of the arrival of the Messiah who brings not only hope, but peace, joy, and love. The Messiah who we remember today with the sacrament of Holy Communion came also, let us not forget, to suffer, to die, to conquer death, and provide redemption for all of us. As Jesus himself said, as we read this morning in Matthew, therefore, because of all of that, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming. And although we've marked those events on our calendar, his return one day, we don't know when that will be, we have to remember that he said, the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. We're waiting for the phone to ring. We're waiting for that call, not because we wish it to be so, but because we expect it to be so and we know it to be so. Hope. Our hope is in Christ. Amen. We now come with gratitude to the joy of the table of the Lord, but before we do that, we bring the works of our hands and the gifts of our lives as an offering of praise. Let us now present our offerings to God. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for how great thou art. There's such anticipation, Lord, for who you are and who you are to come and be. Lord, we pray that you will bless this, our offering, to your work and to your glory, for the work that goes on from this congregation within this community. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. This is the time when we come before God from week to week to pray for those in our lives and those around the world and those in our community as well. We also, the Juris family are all here this morning, and I welcome you today and brought these lovely flowers in memory of Lucien, who passed away a year ago. And we remember not just Lucien this day, but we also want to remember lots of folks who have been part of our congregation who have left, have passed away during this particular time of year. And we know that as I was going through my notes, there's quite a number of folks that we want to remember, and the list is longer than I was surprised in that sense. So there was some sadness, but some joy at the same time, folks. These people and who have been a part of our family and a part of our lives are now with the Lord and in that glorious part of that life. We also want to remember Carlene, as the lady that does the cleaning here at our church. Her mom passed away suddenly on Friday night. Is that right, Bob? Her mom had a heart attack. So we remember her in prayer. Also, you know, we told her just to kind of stay and deal with your family. So things may not be spotless downstairs if that's what happened. Just keep that in mind. But we do want to remember Carlene and all the folks in her family. It was a sudden loss for them, and it always is a loss, I know, when someone passes away, but very sudden for her. So let's bow our heads in prayer, folks. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time of year, and we thank you for this time that you call us to be praying for other people in our lives. But this is a joyful or joyous thing that we can be doing and participating and thinking of others. It's also a very difficult time because we are thinking of others. We are thinking of the needs in others' lives. We are thinking of the loss in our own in many cases, that this can be difficult to come from week to week and to do this, and particularly at this time of year as well. Lord, we pray for Carlene and her, all the folks in her family, for the loss of her mom and a very sudden loss. Lord, we pray for the many families within our congregation this morning who have lost people a year, 2 years, 3 years ago. People who have passed away, it seems, during this particular time from November and through to January. And it's very difficult at this particular time because we have certain expectations built around this season. And when those who are close to us and we love dearly are gone, it makes it even more difficult. So I also pray, Lord, for those who are still here with us and that the loneliness that they may be feeling at this time of year, that this time of year may not be quite so happy and filled with joy. It might just be very much the opposite. We pray for those who feel that loss and feel that darkness in their life, that they can have that light of Christ, that true hope that you bring us, Lord, can refresh all of us. And Lord, as we do many Sundays here, we all have someone in our life that is in need, whether it's a spiritual need, a physical need, an emotional need. There's someone we know that is suffering in some capacity. So each one of us now, Lord, we take a moment in silence and we offer that name to you this morning. Lord, I thank you for each and every person here this morning for doing this task and participating willingly in it, for offering those names as I visualize it from week to week as balloons floating up in the air, I suppose, with names on them, names that you know only, because they've been spoken in silence, but names that you care for. Not just names, but lives. And every person that we know, Lord, is not by themselves truly, but they have other people in their lives. So when one of us is not well, it affects many of us, and truly affects all of us in some ways. You are a God of the future in so many ways, Lord, because you are making us ready for the coming of your reign, when you will bring everlasting peace and renew the face of this earth. And we thank you for that. We thank you for listening to us this morning, Lord, and hearing our prayers, giving us that confident hope and expectation that you will answer. We pray this in Christ our Lord. Amen. We now come before the Lord in our communion service, one that I've spoken about already this morning, something that's very special and unique at our congregation, but also something that is very common, and I mean by common, I mean commonly shared, common union, that communion that we share with all other churches around the world. This is a time when we come before God to remember this particular sacrament in Christ's name. Hear the words of the institution of this Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. With thanksgiving, let us offer God our grateful praise. Let's join together now in singing our communion hymn this morning. Let us break bread together, 548. Stand together now to say together, as printed in the your bulletin, the Apostles' Creed. And we talked a little bit about the Apostles' Creed a month ago or so, going through many of the statements that are made here. This is a statement of faith of what I personally and we collectively believe as a denomination, as Christian people. Let us say now together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I'll turn now to number 564 in your hymnals for the outline that we follow, the great prayer of thanksgiving. I also would like to point out, too, that as I've been reflecting on things from the past, that this great prayer of thanksgiving is certainly something that we've been doing here at Burlington East. I know in my early Christian life, we didn't follow this at all. It was just kind of something that we kind of made up on the fly, I guess, in so many ways. And when I started at Knox College, they started using this, and I was surprised at the number of people that were sitting around knew this all by heart. And I felt kind of like an outsider after all these years of being a Christian believer. But the idea is not just to recite the words. The idea is that we're saying some words that have been carried on as a tradition for many, many, many years. Words that have been well thought through and put together. So it's not just reciting. It's saying something that unites us in communion, common union, throughout the ages. And that's why we use it here as well. A great prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We bow our heads in prayer. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you have created the heaven and the earth. You've made us in your image, and you've kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who by his life, his death, and his resurrection opened up to us the way of everlasting life. So therefore, we join with the whole creation to lift our hearts in joyful praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. As we've heard, at his Last Supper, Jesus took that bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in that same time and way, he took the cup after the supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament with these words, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." Lord our God, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and this cup may be for us a symbol and sign of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we enter, we and all your saints be united and enter into that fullness of Christ and remain faithful and in hope and in love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. Now we join our hearts together saying the Lord's Prayer using debts and debtors as we pray so often on Sundays here. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we prepare these elements this morning, I want to remind us of that simple meal that Jesus had with the disciples on the night that he was betrayed, on the night before he died. They were just simply sitting around a table having dinner. And on that table happened to be some bread. On that table happened to be some wine that they were drinking. This is the first time it ever happened. The disciples wondered why Jesus was picking up the bread, breaking it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he grabbed a cup that was on the table and held it up, and he said, "This is the blood of my sacrifice. Drink this and do this always in remembrance of me." I'm sure they would have wondered, what was he talking about? We're all just having the end of our meal. We're sitting around having a bit of conversation now, and suddenly he points this out. But they very soon clued into what was happening. It's with that same kind of newness that I call us to this table, this common table for all of us. To think that Christ has done something so wonderful for us, and it is these symbols that we use this day to remember that great sacrifice. Congregation of Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared this table, and we do this in remembrance of the way He prepared that first table for all who love Him and trust Him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins. And we talked about sin as we opened our prayers this morning. Those times when we've walked away from what God is calling us to. That's what sin's all about. Not doing what God wants. Repenting is stopping that, turning our completely the other direction and changing our ways. All who sincerely believe in the Lord as their Savior and all who desire to live in obedience to Him as Lord are invited to come to this table with gladness. The gifts, these are the gifts, and they symbolize the great gifts of Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, again we ask that you will bless these elements, bless our time in communion together. Bless this as a symbol and that remembrance that we have of you. We pray this in Christ. Amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
This is the blood of Christ shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God. Bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you fed us in this sacrament. We thank you that you've united us with Christ. And we thank you that you've given us a foretaste of that heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Lord, we thank you that we can remember and anticipate at the same time. We can remember that which you've done for us, demonstrated in this sacrament, and we can anticipate that which is coming through the Advent season. Lord, keep us in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and your glory. For the sake of Christ, amen. We'll join together in our final hymn this morning. Hymn number 765, we have a story to tell to the nation. Day and hour, no one knows. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. Be ready for the Lord to come, because we do truly have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. Go forth this week and share that story in some way. And now may the grace of Christ, love of God, and the Spirit's joy surround you now and always as you walk in the light and the hope of the Lord. Amen. God bless you all. I just also, before I left, I wanted to make sure I said a great thank you to Ms.